Max Hall and Melbourne Football Club. You're listening to the Coaches Panel.
This is Nat Fyfe from the Fremantle Footy Club.
Trent Cotchin from the Richmond Footy Club.
Scott Benderbury from the Collingwood Football Club. You're listening to the Coaches Panel.
Patrick Cooch from the Carlton Footy Club.
It's Rory Sloane here from the Adelaide Crows.
This is Tom Mitchell. You're listening to the Coaches Panel.
Hey, it's MJ from the Coaches Panel. I hope you're well. 8 weeks of your AFL fantasy season are done. And the next couple of weeks really feel like they could be season defining. After what many dubbed a carnage and chaos round, round nine could be a week you rebound, or it could be the week that things continue to taper off a little bit pear-shaped. We're going to talk injured players. We've got to talk value options. Got to talk cash cows and a couple of other guys about whether it's too late. Have we faded them? Do we need to fade them? There is a ton of stuff we've got to get to on this episode. Joining me on this episode, if you're watching, you already know who the Coaches Panel members are. But joining me, I've got Mini Mark. Mate, it was good to watch some footy with you on the weekend. And my, oh my, a big week of fantasy footy coming up for us in AFL fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big week. We got to watch a very nice game on the Saturday night, and it was good to catch you down in Melbourne for the weekend. And yeah, it should be a massive week of fantasy. Lots of, as you said, carnage to work our way through. Lots of players who have either been injured during the game, been subbed out, been subbed into games. Even news coming out today regarding players that we were a bit more confident in potentially being unwell or having a longer-term injury than we might have hoped. So, yeah, plenty to talk about.
Also on this episode, he's been part of the Coaches Panel since its inception. Reds, mate, nice to have you back on the podcast. And my, oh, my, it feels like this could be a really interesting moving week, doesn't it? We'll talk about some injured players. There have been some popular names. Divergence away from the pack now does feel like a good opportunity for coaches to be able to consider moves this week.
I reckon there's a fair chance if you nail this week's trades and you just have a bit of luck, you're actually going to move the most you're going to be moving, you know, for the rest of the year. It's probably going to set you up for a big charge towards the really decent rank.
Yeah, I think so too. So we got to talk about the fact that four players of varying levels of ownership, but four very important fantasy players nonetheless, all had injury-impacted games last week and all were subbed out of the game and were unable to finish the game for varying reasons. The one that hurts the most is Tom Green owners, especially brand new owners. That hurts the most. Connor Rosie holders, trusting the Port Adelaide medical conditioning, and Ken Hinckley. Now we know what it's like to be a Port Adelaide supporter for a week, so we appreciate your pain now. Elliot Yeo, finally, that feels wrong to say, but finally did succumb to a soft tissue injury, albeit on the lighter scale. And then Zach Williams probably never really got started, to be fair, in AFL fantasy with 1 week of exception. So four big injuries, a couple are confirmed to miss this week already, and at least one is on the test and could play this week. So maybe we should work our way, boys, through them individually because it does feel like they need a different level of conversation around each. But Mini Monk, is it just as plain and simple with Elliot Yeo? Gosh, he's been probably better than I think we all thought he would have been this year. Banked us a ton of cash, some really good points. Is now just jump off the fact he will miss this week. He could miss at least one more. But has he done his job? Is it time to go?
Yeah. I really do think he is a trade out. Like, he's averaged a very decent score. We've given him 7 weeks of uninjured, you know, games, and he's gotten injured in the 8th game. He's gotten halfway through the game, made it to nearly 3/4 time, and hasn't dropped too much cash in the process. I think he is a really easy flip this week. You know, he's nearly 30 years old. He's hasn't managed 50 games of footy in the last 5 years. I think just thank him for his service, move him on to whoever you want to.
Yeah, very much so. Rids, what about, say, Zach Williams? Again, not as highly owned as he was over periods of the season. People have been trading him off him at various times. I don't think he's been a failed selection, but he probably hasn't quite hit the dizzying heights of a 70 average that I think most coaches were hoping he would get to. He's well and truly got an attainable break even, but what's your take on Zach Williams and whether he should be moving him on or not?
Well, we did the top 50 version of Zach Williams, and I was talking about a 30-point upside on him. So we were expecting a mid to low, mid to high 70s average.
Yep.
So I think he's not failed, but he wasn't as successful as what we were hoping.
I think that's fair.
The problem with Williams, though, is he hasn't generated that cash to jump off. Now, at his price point, you're almost better off to hold on to him and try and, because he is coming off an ACL only, like he missed all of last year with the ACL that he had. He's going to get better as the season goes, but he's having a few issues at the moment with those soft tissues, with the hammy twinges and the whatever it is, the calves, probably the groins, whatever else is going on with the young man. But he will get better the longer the season goes. Whether you want to invest $500,000 in a bench cover option for the year, because I'd be nervous putting him on your field, yeah? Because, at any times there's going to be times where he's subbed out at three-quarter time like last week. Really hurts you. But he is a loop bench option potentially at the moment and through the buys. So I'd probably just persist for a little bit longer just to see whether he can actually get his body right. The problem is 530, that's a lot of money to be investing when we've got the Grahams and Closies and Roberts, McKercher, Howells, who we could be potentially doing that with anyway. And we didn't pay that 400 price tag when we first started for them. So try and work out, is that freeing up that cash going to get you that guy that you really want? And if it doesn't, well, you're better off probably holding on to him for now. If it does, then I'd be jumping off him straight away.
Yeah, fair enough.
And mate, Tom Green on Yo.
Yeah.
Now I know that Monk was talking about Yao for a second.
Yo.
So there were signs already because he hasn't toned up since round four now. So there were signs that big chunk of footy that he's missed already in those last few years was starting to, his body was getting tired or whatever it is. He just wasn't producing those hundreds like he was in round three and four. So there were signs that there was something that's going to be a breaking point at some point. And I hate saying it this way, but it might be a bit of good luck that it's happened like this, because his score last week when it did occur was reasonable. We can get over that yet. It's the Tom Green ones, the sevens, and then gets injured. That's the ones that are season defining, yeah?
They're the Hurtsville ones, the Fife sub. Rosie, who we'll talk about in a moment, while far from ideal, a 51 is not going to be the thing that derails your season. I absolutely agree. But Tom Green, we've got to talk about it. Mini Monk, we did talk about him on the podcast last week and was a relatively popular trade-in option for a number of different reasons, from a way that people were trying to structure their team through the buys, just dollars perspective, and just wanting to get what I think many was a top line, top eight mid for the foreseeable future, if not for the season. Unfortunately, the element of luck when it comes to injuries, or lack thereof in Tom's case, means he gives owners a single-digit score, a monster break even, and he's already lost a ton of cash for people that traded into him last week, let alone those that have held him for the season. I guess my question is really this. He's listed as a test. If he's named, do we trade anyway for owners? Because if he's not named, it's an easier decision, which I'll come to in a moment, that side. But if he's listed as a test, where on the priority scale should this be for coaches to trade?
I think that he's actually a hold. I think that pure and simple, you've already taken a lot of the price hit. He is a player that can pump a 140, 150 on any given day as well. Like, we've seen that he's got that monster ceiling. You've bought him in because you've either thought that he's got a bye that you don't really have that many players on, which is fair enough, or you think that he's a top eight midfielder for the rest of the season, or potentially both. If you're trading out of him this week and he's playing this week, are you planning to trade back into him in 3 weeks' time when he's 800K and he's just come off his bye? And if the answer to that is yes, then why not hold him and try and force try and make an upgrade somewhere else in your team? Like, I don't think that there's a world where I could see myself trading out of him. I think even if you miss this week, you've got the option to just wait, see how some of the matchups go earlier on in this week. You know, we've got the two Friday night games as well as the Saturday early game as well before he even plays or before he would even play. There's plenty of time to actually make a decision based on those games, whether you trade him out or not. But I would be leaning towards holding him.
Yeah, Rids.
Well, the part about Tom Green, mate, I just want to finish up on one thing, is people were buying him at 950 last week. The problem now is with that seven, okay, whatever it was, okay, but that seven means that everyone's jumping on him post-buy now. So you
and
just
that's what I was going to ask. Is how does this impact our trade cadence and plans for the next month, knowing that, again, it's just unfortunate bit of luck for owners, whether you're a 1 week or an 8 week owner. It's just an unfortunate slice of injury luck that means everyone's going to get him at a really attainable price point. Does it impact the trades you want to make over the next 3 weeks, knowing you've got this telegraph move of round 13, I'm jumping on Tom Green?
Well, there's a potential guy that we're going to talk about a little bit later that I've asked you to put on the run sheet tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's the type of guy that I'd be looking at. Some guy, someone that goes in and you can average 90, 95, cover a missing premium this week at a slightly lower price point than the premiums, and actually to make you some cash at the same time, and then you can jump off at his buy. And we'll have that discussion later, so I won't ruin the surprise, okay?
Sure.
But the thing is, okay, that's the sort of play you might need to look at, because you have to try and generate some of the cash. But trading out of Tom Green right now means three trades are being used, because you're going to have to get him back in round 13 anyway. Because the whole club is going to be on him.
Yeah, no, you can't.
MJ, and you know this as well as me, mate. Groupthink, you know what's going to happen after ground 12, yeah? With groupthink, we're going to have, whether it's the traders, whether it's Selby, whether it's Hat Chat, whether it's coaches panel, whoever the podcast is, the Fanatics might even be on it doing live streams. We're going to have the Ball Boys talking about it. You know the number one guy we're talking about in round 13, mate?
Tom Green. Yeah, without any question. And understandably too, when you're getting a potential 110 guy that was looking like doing and being that at an $800,000 price point, wow, that's really pretty hard to ignore. Talking about Connor Rosie then, Mini Mike, again, unfortunate luck if you've got both of those guys in your midfield. He won't play this week. So that's at least definitive. Green, we know, is a chance at time of recording. Rosie is definitively out this week. Have given a little bit in their latest injury update that it's 1 to 2 weeks. Where's your take on this with a player like Rosie? Again, in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time after the bye, he'll probably be around $800,000 to $850,000 if he can have a couple of good ceiling games, which he's got some favorable matchups if and when he does get back to playing soon. So simple question, I guess it's the same one. Definitively out this week, is he an essential trade out? And if he's not, what are the variables for why you're considering holding him that hold water?
I think he's a much harder proposition in my mind compared to Green. And it's the fact that it's flared up, it's come into play, and then he's gotten subbed out on 51, you know. The break-even is comparably high. The price is comparable to Green as well, but we at least know that Rosie's actually out this week. And I think that that makes it a lot harder, because if he'd missed last week, but they'd said it's going to be 1 week, he'll come back, he'll play Geelong, and then he'll play against Hawthorn, I think it is. and then he'll play North Melbourne, then he'll play Carlton, then he's got his bye. You would have just been like, fine, I'll cop the 1 week of him being out. I can live with that. But the three really appealing fixtures that he does have in his next 3 weeks, the fact that he's missing one of them, potentially two of them, is a massive cause for concern to me. I don't know if there's an easy answer with regards to someone like Connor Rosie. I think that, you know, as much as people might blight me for it, the phrase team defender obviously matters here. Like, if you can get an upgrade, by moving someone else off. Like, if you've got a Yo and a Zach Williams and you can trade those two out and you can get to a Dacos and a mid-priced guy that might be on the way up. Let's say it's someone like a Peatling, or let's say it's a Darcy Jones if you want to go to a rookie and bank a bit of cash for next week. That might be a better move. And then just holding Rosie for a week and waiting for a bit more information from the club, then actually trading him out and just going sideways to another premium. Like, I don't think that there is an easy option with regards to him. I think that you should explore both. I'm probably looking to hold him as an owner myself, but I can see the merit in trading him out.
And Rids, I suppose the concern for those that do choose to hold, and Minnie's done a really good job at explaining some of the reasons for why you consider it. The challenge is if he misses more than just the 1 week, then you're absorbing pain and you're probably almost having to double down, Rids, almost every single week with him missing. And we saw this last year with Clayton Oliver to some extent, and it can very quickly derail your season if the 1 week is 2 weeks.
There's two things about this, MJ. Why guess this week? We already know he's not missing. His price isn't dropping this week.
Yeah.
So try and work out someone to replace and cover for him. Now, I'm going to throw some left field ideas here. If you own a Riley Sanders, and I know that he's not in the best 22 right now, but he had a massive game on the weekend in the VFL, and we know Lib is out for a prolonged period of time, and we know the Dogs lost, and we know that Bevo's looking for a bit of good luck in the news, good stories in the news. It could very well be it's Riley Sanders' time that's coming in. And people may have – I'm in this situation, okay? I own Rosie and I own Sanders. So I'm going to go look at teams. I'm going to try and listen to what comes out of the Dogs. Because guess what? The Dogs play the yellow and black witches' hats this week.
Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So that's an absolute perfect matchup to cover someone like a Rosie. And what Monk said a minute ago, get some more information. See what he might be named next week. See how it goes.
Yeah.
I can tell you now, mate, it can't be that bad, like the injury, because otherwise he wouldn't have been played last week. You have to take him on face value to a point. But guess what's going to happen? Same discussion we just had a minute ago. If you trade out Rosie, guess who you're trading back into after round 13?
100%. 100%. And up until the last 2 weeks of hamstring interrupted injuries, he'd been one of the safest 1 and 10 performers we had all season.
Outside of that ending to that Collingwood, I think it was a fumble fest that he had in that game, he's been great. Okay. Oh,
without question. Without any question. And the past 2 weeks, last week, he was clearly hampered in that back half of the third quarter. But that game against St Kilda, he was on track for a 140. He was absolutely just on fire.
We have been talking for years, okay, that the only time a price drop really matters to your team is if you trade out of them.
Correct.
That's when it's really going to matter. There's still a premium. Yeah. And you've just eaten the bad luck that you've just copped. Trading out of these guys is never the go-to option. although I've noticed, and I mean, this is really my first year playing AF really, really seriously since about 2013, I think it's been.
Yep.
That we are very knee-jerky, aren't we? We sort of get going and we sort of jump out. Oh, no, he's going to drop 50,000 this week. But the fact is, who cares how much value he is if he's sitting in your team anyway? Because he's already dropped. Like, say, Tom Green, mate. He dropped 78,000 last week and he's got a break even of 166. So whether he plays or whether he doesn't play, but the next time he does play, he's dropping more cash.
Without doubt.
That doesn't mean using three trades to get him out then bring him back in, because there was one trade to get him in the first place if you didn't start with him.
True.
It just doesn't make sense, yeah? Because the two trades that you've used to trade out and trade back in, what can you do elsewhere in your team? And look at the options. Think of a Peatling. Think of a Jones. Think of a – we've got some really good value options right now. Maybe it's a Clary Oliver. Maybe it's a Nick Daicos. I mean, if I told you at the start of the year, we can get Clary Oliver for $720,000 this week, what would you say?
I'd say you're being dropped on your head one too many times from premiership celebrations.
What if I said, how about Daicos at, you know, 20 or 30,000 less than 900,000? You'd be going, where do I sign up?
100%.
Yeah, we've got options. English, Marshall, we've got options all on every line right now that are very value. Like, I mean, we don't have to go out and build that team dollars as hard as what we have in years gone by when we had those five or six forwards that were warranting 950th price tags, you know, because we just don't have those options.
Yeah. So
I just want to go on to that point. There are four forwards at the moment that are priced $800,000 or more in AFL Fantasy. Just four. Heaney, Flanders, Zorko, and Brad Hill. Brad Hill is the only one that's in that 800K price range. And I'm not sure if anyone wants to trade into him. I know a few people might have done a few weeks back. But if you have, you know, Teeny Flanders, you're probably not going to trade into Zorko with him having the round 12 buy in 3 weeks' time and his price tag being 950K this week. And you've got three other players that are in that 700K price bracket. You're fine. Like, don't stress about the fact that you've got a Jack McRae or a Tom Powell or a Jai Caldwell or a Shai Bolton or a Liam Baker in your forward line, because no one else has got anything that's any better in there anyways. No. That's not where you're going to make up the points. The moment where the points are being made up is who are you fielding in your midfield. If you're running two rookies, three rookies, four rookies, who are you fielding in your ruck line? Are you confident with, you know, Max Gawn, Tim English, Rowan Marshall, Tristan Cherry, Jordan Sweet? Look at where you can actually make up the points against the pack. It's not going to be in that forward line at the moment because it's all dregs aside from the very top. You can make it up in the midfield by going for the right value players there.
Yeah, it's an interesting
one. Just to emphasize that, okay, MJ, just to follow on again, there's only three forwards averaging 100 right now, okay? And they're the three that are very obvious, yeah?
Yes.
The fourth forward is Harry Mackay at 95. I don't think anyone is going to, you know, in their right minds, going to go, hey, jump on Harry. The only other one is Brian Myers, averaging 90. And then you've got Brad Hill at 88, and then it drops down to 85. If you can find a rookie to average you 50, there's not much points gap difference between the two. So whether you've got McRae, whether it's Baker, whether it's a Moore, whoever it is, who cares if they score 60 one week, 100 the next? The thing is, they're still going to be averaging close enough to a top six forward.
Like, Epsi's averaging 70, Wilson's averaging 70, Harley Reid's averaging 65. I mean, even a Harvey Gallagher is averaging 53. You're not that far off.
No, you're not
at all. And I know everyone's been talking, oh, Dempsey, and oh, he's had a hard run, and everyone seems to, oh, he scored 33 in the first quarter, then he's only finished with 50. But guess what, guys? That 33 is probably about a third of a premium forward, top six forward right now. Correct. Like, it's okay. He still scored them.
Yeah, no, it's true. So you mentioned two guys a couple of minutes ago, both from the same team, funnily enough, that I think people are looking at as their two premium money-making options for them this week. And maybe premium is too generous of a term, but two guys they're looking to make money off without knowing who's named. One is our new favorite helmet player in Darcy Jones, priced under 300,000 mini monk. Is it safe to just assume that if someone is wanting to drop down to under 300K for their cash generation purposes to get one of those upgrades that yourself and Riz have been talking about on this episode, is Darcy the best option? And if he is, are you worried about the subfest coming to a third small forward in a row at the Giants?
Oh, I think he might be the best option, but yes, I'm most definitely worried about the fact that he's going to get a subfest, be it even a green one, let alone a red one during a game. You know, you look at the under 300K price bracket, and if you saw by break even, you got Darcy Jones at a minus eight break even. Lovely. You got Kalshi Adia, minus four, key forward, had a very good game on the weekend. Could he do a 20 next week? Potentially.
Maybe. Yeah?
Tajwo Woden, the week up, you know, he's probably got a very limited lifetime left on how long he stays in that team for. Lachie Sullivan might have an extra week or two with Jordan Dugowie and Tom Mitchell. With Tom Mitchell having appendicitis and Jordan Dugowie maybe being out a bit longer, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's dropped to the outer very quickly as well. You've got the toaster himself, Bruce Breville, who had an okay game up in the Q Clash. He's probably got a bit more job security associated with him, but even he came off injured during that game as well. And then you're with a bunch of players that aren't even playing. You got Charlie Dean, you got Pat Voss, you got Toby McMullen, Manor, McAuliffe, Mullen. Like, none of these guys are even playing games at the moment. Yuck. It is pretty rough to try and find someone who can make cash. So if you're in doubt, you go for the player that has the lower break even, who has the most potential to actually pop a score or two and make 50 or 60K in a couple of weeks. Like,
maybe so I just want to talk about Sullivan. I think Sullivan's been undersold a little bit this week. He's a 26-year-old mature age rookie serving a purpose in a midfield that's actually, like, I mean, we've got a few injuries with Tom Mitchell, with Dugowie. He's not going to keep them out. But the thing is, before they were out, there was still a few of those sorts. Like, I mean, at the start of the year, I think the Pies were looking at a Finn McRae. As being a part of their best 22 and a part of their best midfield rotations. He's sort of fallen out of favour. But the thing is, he was available last week for selection, as was Sullivan. And Sullivan actually won the spot over him. And I know that he started as a sub and everything else. That's fine. But he did plenty when he came on.
No doubt.
I actually think he's been undersold. So he's got a much better buy than what a Darcy Jones has.
Oh, for sure.
He led the Pies, I believe, for score assists in that game, despite being the sub. Yeah. And in a tight contest where you win with a goal right at the death of the game, essentially, to be a player that does that after coming off the bench at like halfway through the third quarter, I think that shows a lot about what he can bring to that side. And yes, I probably might have undersold it with saying that he is time limit. I think he very much is with Dugowie and Mitchell. But there is every chance that they actually try and give Mitchell a bit more of a rest. He's going to lose a bit of fitness with the fact that he's in hospital for a little bit of time.
It's true.
Maybe you try and see what a 26-year-old can bring to your squad for 5 or 6 weeks during the middle of the year in case you do need to call up on them again later on in the year.
And so the coaches' panels... So the thing is, long-time coaches panel listeners would remember a young man called Tim. He was an avid Pies supporter, third still monkey. Is. Yeah, well, he still is. I shouldn't talk like he's in the third tense or anything. He's still around. But the thing is, okay, he could not tell everyone. Everyone was raving about Stephen Wells as that miracle-like recruiting guy, but Tim used to always rave about Derek Hine. So anyone with Derek Hine influence, in that recruiting list management role, hiring, like going out and recruiting a 26-year-old mature age body, they must have known something to do that, the Pies. So I just reckon sometimes we just have to do it. So we can do that easy.
Talk to me about
I'll get you to raise that point that you just typed to us because it's a very key one.
Yeah, so talk to me about Lachie Sullivan playing the Eagles this week. Can you field him?
Well, I mean, if you're looking to hold someone like Connor Rosie, you're probably going to bring an extra rookie onto your field in your midfield. He's got a matchup against West Coast, which, you know, historically hasn't been a hard matchup. It's been a bit harder this year. There might be a few reasons as to why that's the case, be it that they've been very explosive out of the midfield, which has made scoring against them quite hard. That's probably been a combination of Reed and Yeo. Now Yeo's missing and Reed's getting a little bit slower and a bit sore, as would be expected of any first-year rookie, let alone one who comes in as a generational prospect.
Mm.
But, I mean, Sullivan played last week as the sub, so he's going to be pretty fresh. He's flying over to Perth, so maybe a little bit there. But he's probably going to start in the 22 this week. I would be pretty shocked if he didn't. If he is, why not even look at him as an option to play at your M8 spot? There is every chance as a mature age player who's already torn up the VFL in these games this year that he pops an 80 or a 90 score. I mean, that's something that I would seriously consider.
Well, you can look at him with that Sunday matchup.
And I don't think that Jones is someone that could pop a 90 score this weekend. And I think that's the difference. I don't think you could get a 90 score out of Jones, but I could easily see one out of Sullivan.
Yeah, it's a good chat.
And the other thing is, just have a look at your rookies you've got on your bench right now. So you might still have a Jai Clark, okay? And I know it's a terrible matchup this week, but it is at home against Port Adelaide. But the timing is perfect, the first game on a Friday night. So throw him on your bench as M9, and why not loop him and a Sullivan or a Sanders or whoever it is, okay, who have got a friendlier matchup later, and put a bit of a more of a ceiling score on him to say the line. So something like a Clark, you might go, you know what, normally I'd accept a 55, but this week as a M9, I'm going to accept 70 or better. And then see how that goes. Because there are ways to do this. There's a lot of good matchups for the rookies as we go through. You know, the Wilsons, the Garcias playing against Hawthorn,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Kirchers playing against the Gold Coast up in where is it, Darwin? You've got the Bulldogs playing against Richmond. There's quite a few. Reed playing against, you don't necessarily have to field Reed this week against Collingwood and Marvel on the Sunday. You can actually loop into him and then actually go, you know what? I'm happy with Sanders, who plays on the Saturday night, scoring 70, because I just don't know how Reed's going to go as the number one mid with no Yeo there. Like, and I know Tim Kelly's there, but really, that's what it is, though. So there's ways around this. So don't just lock yourself into stuff and set up your team. You're going to have to be active this week and you're going to have to loop through these options.
Yeah, it's some really helpful stuff. And it's why people are looking at a James Peatling, who politely up until 2 weeks ago, no one was even vaguely considering. I think he spent the first 4 weeks of the season as the sub for the Giants too. So didn't really get much of a crack. There's been some change to some availabilities, it's safe to say, through their midfield, with no Cornelio over the past fortnight and basically no Green and Cornelio last week when Green going down injured so quickly. My question to you, Mini Monk, is this a moneymaker that is going to be a bullet train for us? Because his past 2 weeks has been excellent. We know things have landed his way in terms of availabilities. those might stall come Thursday night for us on teams. But is James Peatling at just a touch over 440K, a guy that can make 150K in 3 weeks really fast for us? Or is there a little bit of caution that we might need to show with him?
I mean, there's obviously caution that we might need to show with him. He's popped a ceiling game, but it's been when their key midfielder, their highest CBA midfielder before this week, obviously because the injury happened, went out of the team. And so they had to adapt. They had to put different players through that midfield mix. He went from 40%, 2 weeks ago it was 11%, last week it was 42%, and then this week he's got 63% CBAs. And yes, they've been trusting him with that CBA rotation even when he's been coming on as the sub as well. So that's a sign that he will get CBAs if he's in the team. But what happens if Cornelio is back this week and Green's back this week and he's not playing? What about if he's the sub? What about if he's green vested or red vested halfway through the game? I mean, they play, you know, they play Saturday. On the Saturday afternoon. Who are you going to? If are you going to go all the way down to a Sullivan or a Jones or one of the other rookies? You're going to try and it's a massive structural change, especially if you're planning on feeding him somewhere like F6 or F5 as well. So I think there's a lot of hesitancy for me there because he does feel like the type of player that does, he has scoring chops clearly, but he also has that ability to be a sub and be that person that can fill any role they need him to. He's a versatile type of player, similar to how different teams want to use subs like that. I know that Fremantle love to use a player like Banfield or Amir or even Fife on the weekend as a player like, because they've got that versatility to be able to do that role. To me, he's someone that GWS could exactly do that with. And, you know, if Green plays this week and Cornelio plays this week, there's every chance that he's just back to that green vest and you just wasted a trade anyways.
So yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit here.
Please.
This guy's a little bit mature age. This guy's been waiting and biding his time. He's been given an opportunity, and not only has he grabbed it, but he's excelled in the opportunity. Like, that was a massive game last week that they entrusted him to have those CBAs
without doubt.
In. That was against the Sydney game. I think he's absolutely a viable option this week, but it really does depend what you're doing it from. It's not going to be Peatling this week. Who are you trading from to Peatling and using that cash on the second trade? We talked about Zach Williams just a minute ago, okay? And I said, look, you don't want to have him on the field. It's 530. Not sure he's going to make any money. Like, he's not, he's a bit of a nothing. He's a middle of the road type option. You know what you could do though with Zach Williams? You could trade Zach Williams to Peatling, and that might get you enough cash to go yo to Dacos this week if your team.
Correct.
That's the type of trade.
Yeah.
Peatling then becomes that cash gen option, and it's only a 3 week play. We're not talking about he's got an expiry date of round 12. But if he can generate you that, let's say 130,000-150,000 in that time frame that Tom Green's likely to lose, and you're unfortunately a Tom Green owner, that is a massive win in my eyes, especially if Peatling can just go at 75s the next couple of weeks until the bye.
Yeah.
My only issue is you've got, yes, he's had high CBA rates. Yes, if he's in the squad, he can score a 75-80, but you not only have two massive accumulators coming into the squad in Cornelio and Green if they both play this week, you also have two high market share of CBAs and AFL fantasy points coming in. There will be changes. You know, we might see Callan Ward fall out of the mix. We might see Callahan fall out of the mix. We might see Kelly drop out of the mix as well.
Sure.
But if they all drop from, say, 60, 50% to 20, 30%, because I still think they want to give Callahan CBAs, they still want to give Kelly CBAs, they still want to give Ward the occasional CBAs if he's not sub, just how much of a share can Peatling get and what will his role be if those two come back into the squad?
Yep.
Oh, there's definitely risk associated, but that's his price tags counters that risk. It's 440.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I guess the question is, if you're going sideways, but you're making 100K of going Williams to him, if Peatling's drops next week or he's a sub next week, that cash generation is completely stunted immediately. And you've only got
without a worry, but it's the flip side of what you can do on Yo. That's the difference.
It's the risk profile. Yes.
Exactly right. And if you can get the day cost as he's going into a West Coast game, that I would see as a massive win. And I wouldn't be worried about doing a D7 to a Peatling option. And Peatling, whether he's good or not to cover whoever on field is a different discussion point, but he is going to make cash. So he is going to get a little bit. And they've got Geelong this week and they've got Dogs. And we are talking about Cogs, who hasn't played for quite a few weeks now, and Green, who might be eased into it, like with the ankle and everything else. We just don't know where it's going to be. We don't even know if Green's in the team right now.
Of course.
So there's every world that Peatling could potentially have those CBAs required and that market 100%. Share in the role just to edge out a 60, 65 over the next couple of weeks to make you some serious coin.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of what you do through this kind of 48-hour time period before Thursday night teams land is, okay, if this, then that. If this, then that. Build those contingency plans in place. If Green and Cornelio are named, okay, that might impact the way you choose to view a Peatling, and a Sullivan might become really important to you. A Cornelio's not quite right. Green doesn't get named all of a sudden. Build those contingencies, build those planned layers so that very, very quickly you can pull the lever and not have to sit there on a Thursday at 8 p.m. or a Friday at 4 in the afternoon or a Saturday at 11 a.m. going, what should I do? Do the work now so that it's just I do that. Decision made and you can get on with your life.
And I've just got to correct myself, MJ. I did say Bulldogs you fixed Geelong, but it's Essendon Bulldogs Geelong. So there is two out of the three that I like.
That just sounds like my answers I give to everyone. Two out of three ain't bad. Talk to me a bit about the Swans. There's still a ton of stuff we want to get through. We are on the back half of our time on the podcast together is Rids. We know Luke Parker's coming back this week. Now, that's very presumptuous of me, but the fact is they gave him probably one additional week in the VFL. He was right to probably go last week. I think it was like 37 disposals and probably tore the game an absolute apart. So he's going to play this week. I don't think anybody's going to question that. But it does add another interesting variable mix to this Swans midfield. We saw that happen a couple of weeks ago with Taylor Adams come in. Does this, for Goulden and maybe to a lesser extent for Heaney owners, although we can throw him in the mix, does this wave a little bit of concern or caution for you, or do you think they'll ease Parker in and it shouldn't be too much impact with either of those boys?
Well, if anything, I think it actually helps Heaney's case because Parker is a natural forward. He was earlier on in his career, he played as a forward a lot. He has that forward craft. He knows how to take a mark. He actually plays a very similar, not as explosive, but a very similar role to what a Heaney does. So if I saw Parker named, I'd be absolutely very happy if I was an Isaac Heaney owner. Put it that way, because I think that actually shores up. And with Heaney in career best form, and I mean, arguably, he could be leading the Brownlow right now. I don't see them moving him out of that role while he's in this sort of form.
No, neither do I.
But Goulden, the dynamic, I tell you what, though, well, Goulden's been playing a lot of wing this year. Has. And I tried to explain it a little bit a couple of weeks ago. Because he's got a very hungry hippo called Isaac Heaney right now. So it's one of those ones, yeah? And that's the market share, you know? Our good friend Rowan has introduced market share into the vocabulary. This is why it's such a great tool, is because if someone's coming to eat some part of the pie, then whose pie are they going to eat? Like, Goulden, though, might be that one that is really on the borderline, yeah? It might stop his ceiling going up to that 115 guy, and he might be a 105 guy. It's just, why? How does this world, I don't know what it's going to happen up until the bye, but At least we got three rounds to see what's going to have to look at. Because Parker's definitely getting named this week. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to question that. So there's one guy, Mini Monk, we've got to talk about. You and I got to watch him firsthand, and certainly we might have some bias around doing that. But I remember, maybe some, but there are things we get to see in a game of football. As brilliantly as the angles and the camera shots we get are these days, and the analytics and the reporting on different stuff, you do get to see something really when you watch a player on the ground. And one of the things that was very noticeable about Clayton Oliver sitting high on level four across the half forward flank with yourself. We're in general admission, cheap seats. Don't worry about that. his ability to get uncontested possessions through work rate was back. And Jaden's done some great work on Twitter, as he always does, around stoppage and transition points, and really highlighted and drove that fact from a statistical perspective too, is that his transition scoring picked up drastically last week, which is much more into correlation to what he was the previous years, which was one of the safest 108 to 115 scorers in the game. 722K. Riz has already talked about how we would have probably laughed knowing he'd be this cheap at some point in the year. How hard is it not to trade into Clayton?
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
All over this week. There's a world, and I'm going to get Ridge to talk about why you wouldn't in a moment, but how hard is it not to just take what feels like one of the biggest free kicks for AFL fantasy, not just this year, but for a really long time?
It's very, very tempting to trade into him at that price tag. A lot of history associated with him as an AFL fantasy player. He's had, multiple years already at a 110 average. And despite the fact that he's only, 26 years old, 27 years old, if that.
Yeah, he's still on the right side of 20.
He's still on the right side of, you mean the right side of 30. He's a great.
Hey, if you're in your 20s, you're on the right side of 20 to me, mate. I'm at that age where if you've got a 2 in front of you, you're on the right side of it.
Oh dear, but no, he's got the ability to be able to score fantastically, and we did see that on the weekend. Yeah, if you look at his mark tallies on the weeks before that, no week prior to that this season had he had more than 5 marks, and on the weekend he got 7 marks. Combined with his 4 tackles, combined with the high CBA rate, he's just had the ability to actually be able to find the ball a bit more. Now, whether that's the matchup against Geelong, who do allow a bit more ball on the outside compared to some other teams, whether that's the fact that it's played on the MCG, which he has for a lot of his games, but he played on the SCG in round zero, played at Adelaide Oval for a couple of games as well. Maybe that's why his scoring has been a bit down, but it's very, very interesting to trade into him. I know Riz is going to go into some of the reasons why you don't trade him into this week. One of the hardest things, I think, associated with it is the fact that he plays on Thursday night, and that does lock you into at least one of your trade-ins for the week, which is always a bit scary, especially considering the carnage that we've had in the last 2-3 weeks in terms of players being named in, players being named out, players being named the sub after we, have already started to make our trades, be it, Nat Fyfe, Zach Fisher, it happens. But he's a very, very tempting prospect at that price tag. 722K for a player that can average 110. I'd be very, very interested.
Yeah. So, Rids, is the reason you don't get Clayton Oliver this week have anything to do with that he didn't look good on the weekend, or is it more about the break even and the fixture performance of the round this week, as Mini Monks mentioned, with Thursday night? Is it anything to do with his game, or is it all about those other two variables?
No, because that's the first time all year his game actually passed the eye test.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's not even close, okay?
That's not a factor. Throw that out.
He had one touch, disposals. He was in every pack. He was getting across the ground really well. And I don't know if anyone remembers last year when he was going on that run early on, that freaky, and we all knew who it was because there was the hair, the way that he runs, the tone of his skin, you know, as he's moving through, he's like, he's
very noticeable.
Back, yeah.
Yeah.
You could tell it though, that's resembled what it was last year. The same thing, the way that he spread from stoppage, the way that he was ball hunting, the way that he worked through the stoppage, he was getting in and under, getting his hands dirty and getting it out. And I just want to, the two big things for me, break even, okay?
Yep, 97.
And timing off the game. And Monk's 100% correct. That's exactly where I'm going to go. Can you, with them both combined, is he absolutely a must trade in this week? That's my question.
Sure.
Okay. Question. And there's going to be discussions around the point. I am leaning towards maybe fading him due to those two options because you are still going to get him at 740 at worst next week.
Maybe 750 if he has a bumper. Sure.
Now, the one thing I do want to highlight here, though, MJ, he's averaging 81.8 this year, which is incredibly, incredibly low. His price point, though, is 82.5 right now. So you've got a really disappointing, underwhelming average that you think a guy could potentially have 30 points upside on from here till the end of the year. Because, I mean, if I said to you, Clayton Oliver averaged 111 for the rest of the year, that's not out of the realms of possibility.
Not at all.
So
not at all.
That's the hard part, yeah? And sometimes we get a little bit FOMO in this game, especially with groupthink and everything else in this world. I would say, is it the absolute best option for your team this week? Who do you hold? Do you have a Tom Green sitting on the bench if he's not named? Do you have a Connor Rosie sitting on your bench? Who do you have to go to? Is Oliver the best option at that price point across any of the lines?
Yeah.
That's the question you've got to ask yourself. Is your weakest team dependent? Yeah. And I know it's a cop out. And I know that people.
No, it's not a cop out. It's actually, it's not a cop out. What it is it gives people the caveat of understanding. So,
no, well, what it is, okay, is it means that young people like yourself, MJ, who would much prefer to spend their hard earned cash on their hair than a decent seat at the football, okay, after doing whatever, means that you could sit on the fence with a very valid reason of team dependent without actually having to take one stance one way or the other, yeah? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, okay, this one is absolutely team dependent.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like, do you own these guys? Do you own a Yo? I keep saying
come on, mate. We've only done this for 10 years. Yo.
Yeah, I know that. But are you going to hold Rosie? Are you going to trade into someone else? Do you have a – who do you own? Do you have a Green? Are you worried about that? Like, because at his price point, he is almost the number one trading option for the week in Clayton Oliver.
Oh, because absolutely.
If I said to you, and let's forget the break-even, and I know it's hard to do this, the break-even and the timing of the game, Clayton Oliver at 82.5, mate, price point.
And looking back to his best,
And in 5 weeks' time, and we're talking about bullets, and sometimes it's, let's go counterproductive here, devil's advocate. We're talking about, but do you trade into the guy at serious value in the first match of the get round? What happens if we get a bullet? But guess what, MJ? What happens if we get bullets next week where we actually might miss Clayton Oliver?
Correct.
What happens if a cow presents next week like two a Sullivan
and,
who goes absolutely berserk, you know?
Yeah. Well, you have to address a ruck issue again. Yeah.
You know, these are the risks we take, yeah? And that's part and parcel of the game.
And so it's, you know, it's kind of interesting. You've got a guy who's at a comparable price sitting on the
This is by guy seven. I asked you to include.
You it, asked Jake. Me to put Jake in the mix. I know a couple of weeks ago, Minnie's like, hey, at 600K, do you reckon he can go 100 for the next 5 weeks? And I said, not a chance. I don't trust the Crows midfield. And what has he done for the last 5 weeks? 97. And I might be slowly building some trust back in the Crows midfield ever so
and
slightly.
You know what?
A little
a
bit
little
different.
Birdie told me, MJ, that Monk actually said to you straight after that, how about I organise a footy trip and we'll get the best seats at the game and we sit on the wing and we see everyone. And you went, yeah, let's do that. But then the hair product came into it this week, shopping bill and everything else. So you got up on the
cost
GA
of living crisis, Rids. You know
right
what it's like.
The top of, was it level four or something?
Level
was
four.
That where you hey, were? I saw the picture, what? Mate, on Twitter. I'm on Twitter these days.
Yeah, apparently.
You're way up in. I thought you were in Canberra. What did I?
You,
I thought
you knew Canberra's got a stadium that big.
Yeah, well, I thought you guys
you've got four bays of car parks.
Well, that was just ridiculous, yeah. But Soligo, let's talk about
Soligo. So break even at 50, better buy structure, I suppose, as well. It does feel hard to pick Soligo over Oliver. But if you were to, is it as simple as a better buy and a better fixture?
Well, the thing about picking Soligo over Oliver is that you can do it this week, but you can't do it next week. Soligo goes 110 this week. He's 770K. He's priced at 90. You're not picking him anymore. You just can't. It's just unfathomable to be able to do that and think that he's going to be able to continue to outperform his price point by enough to make him a worthwhile pickup at this point in the season. But if Oliver goes 110 this week, he's going to be 735K. And he's a player that can do 110. So you can do that. So, yeah, if you're picking between the two, pure and simple, this week, then, yeah, I do think it's Soligo over Oliver. If you're planning to get both and planning to hold both at least up until their bye, if not longer, in potentially the case of Oliver, then, yes, absolutely, you go Soligo this week. But as Rid says, there's enough question marks associated with picking up Oliver this week, not just because of the fact that he's got the fixture that's not as great and plays early on in the season, but the fact that you can actually wait a week to see it. How much do we trust Soligo to be the one that actually does go at enough over these next 6 weeks? Because chances are he is a buy flip. He's the perfect type of player to do as a buy flip. He lasts until the round 15 buy. You trade him off to whichever midfielder you want to pick up at that
gets
point
you your
time,
Rosie, for example.
Yeah, exactly. You're hoping that he's 850K and it doesn't cost you anything to go sideways with him. Absolutely, that could be the case. But has that much actually changed between 3 weeks ago, and now, aside from his price being 550K to being 730K? The answer is no. We know the guy can score, especially when he's given that mid-CBA role. We know that the Crows are still experimenting as much as, you know, it's been Dawson that looks like he's the one that's been missing out. There's every chance he could come back in this week. If something goes wrong, they might flick the switches, flick the magnets. Liga can be subbed out. It can be a sub for a game. Again, he's a very versatile player. In my mind, if you're paying 730K for a guy that can be subbed out or subbed into games regardless of injury, that is scary. And that is probably why I would be hesitant to trade into him this week.
Ritz, your thoughts?
Guess what he does have as well, MJ? And now, obviously, now nice people are going, hey, Ritz is pretty keen on Soligo, okay?
Yes.
Yes, there is reasons why. Let's talk about what Oliver's bad point is. He plays the first game this round. What game do you reckon Mr. Soligo plays this week?
Isn't it the last?
The last one.
It is the last one.
Off memory, it's the last.
Yeah, so if you're worried about bullets and you're carrying guys on your bench because of bullets from last week, this guy, you can actually be there and make sure you got your pivots set up. Just in case something was to come across, this guy is a play. Now, have a look at his draw as well over the next few weeks. And I know that we say, you know, he's one of those versatile types, okay, that can jump from midfield to forward. He's not leaving that midfield, MJ, and I think you as a Crows supporter will know that, yeah?
He is locked for the next 8 years in that midfield.
So he comes up against an injury-deprived Brisbane at home this week in the last game, but then he goes Collingwood, West Coast, Hawthorn, Richmond, Sydney leading into that bye.
It's not bad.
And I can tell you now, there is a world Soligo to Rosie after round 13. Will actually bank you some coin.
Absolutely.
There is a world. Absolutely. It's a direct swap to Tom Green.
Yep.
At round 13.
Yep.
There absolutely are exit jump.
There's off ramps. Points, yeah, there is.
All the way through the ball at buys here. And you don't have to hold Soligo to round 15. You can jump off as soon as Tom Green exits his buy, as soon as Rosie exits his buy. And whoever else that you're keen on in round 14, it's the same.
Yeah.
So you've got exit points all the way through the buys with this guy.
Yeah, which is important.
And I've just got to call this out.
Yeah, please.
A big, big listener of Coach's Panel who's in a group chat with me and Vam at the moment. His name's Stuart. Okay. He was the first one to raise Jake's name to me. And like I meant, I noticed him a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't have the balls to jump on. Yeah, I think there's how long have we been saying it this year? The Crows midfield mix is an interesting dynamic. They need to do something different. You know what they did different? They put this guy in the midfield. They're not going to go back to old ways that was broken because they've won the last four now.
Well, three of the last four, but yes.
Well, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. One just last one question I want to ask. Yeah, just the don't trigger me. I had trigger warnings for you last week. Expected score, exactly right. There's one last question I want to ask you boys, and then there's a bit of business we've got to take care of before we wrap up the episode. Nick Dacos owners got what exactly they were hoping for, whether they are new Nick Dacos owners or season long, that they felt that, yes, he's back to his best. And his ownership across the format has been high all year, to be honest. Just it's been high. It's just been at the upper echelons. It's not. And even in the top 100 and top 1,000, it's still not high in contrast to what we think it all eventually will be. It's good, but it's not what it was last year, which was 9,500% ownership in those top rungs. So, Mini Monk, I guess my question is, how much longer can we afford to fade Nick Dacos, knowing that we've got exactly what we wanted if we were fading him? We got what we wanted. How much longer can we go against him?
He's priced basically at 101. He's averaged 101 up to his point. His break-even is less than 100, and his fixture coming up is great. Don't overthink it. Just get him.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It does feel, and you've got pivot points and people and ways to get there this week. You've got a yo if you want to do it. You've got four or five other topped out cash cows that you can kind of do it at the moment. So there's a multitude of ways you can get there. So I think day cost for non-owners is right up there for priority of trade this week. You might choose an Oliver over him, fine. But my, oh my, the gauntlet has been won for the faders. I don't want to be on that side of fading him much longer. Which is why people are probably looking at a Green for a trade or a Rosie for a trade because they're like, oh, I can get Dacos and I can get Oliver. Oh, yeah, maybe I'll do that. So that's where it does start to get interesting. Rids, you were one of the faders of Nick Daicos. How urgent is he as a trade-in priority for you or for people in that situation that are having good seasons and don't own him?
Yeah, well, I traded into him 2 weeks ago, so I traded into him everywhere. So the thing with Daicos, okay, is don't expect him to do those 150 chip games across half back like he was last year. He's now a bona fide midfielder.
Correct.
So when you start looking at matchups coming up, start looking as an inside midfielder. But he is my number one favorite player to own. Put it that way. I love how he goes about it. Even last week, the way that he won that game last week, it's just nice to be able to go, yes, I owned him, and not have to have those nervous weights anymore.
Yeah. There are certain people that I think it was Chiesel from Dr. Supercoach introduced me to the phrase of go to sleep, or helps you sleep at night a little bit better. Having Daicos in your side certainly gives you that, I just feel a little bit better about my AFL fantasy team. But it's why a number of people started him for that factor. So, which is there. Look, there is a ton of other stuff we want to talk to, but we have run out of time for this episode. But before we do, got to talk about the AFL Fantasy Content Creators Cup. The reason we've got to do it is Minimunk still sits in a really nice spot inside the top two with just the one loss for the year. You and Mitch Case.
Don't know how.
Doesn't matter how you get there, mate. The thing about this league is there have been several matches that have decided by a kick or two. Not a goal, like literally a possession or two. So it's a very, very tight league. So you're right up in the mix, I believe. Rids, you are not too far behind in that chasing pack as well. So is Louis and myself trying to chase and catch Minimark, which, let's be honest,
I'll tell you how competitive this league is, the KMJ. And I know you got to do a spiel because we promised Guesty you'd do it because you don't want me to do it, trust me.
No, but it'd be a disaster.
I think I'm in the top 4 or 5 for overall rank in this league.
For and points it's so competitive. Or ranks, yeah.
For points, I think I'm 17th and I keep losing by under a kick. And then last week, played Mr. Donuts over in the Hat Chat Man.
Jake, he yes.
Just hopped one of those freakish.
A 21.66 last week. Thank you, Jake. Well
but
done.
That's what happens when people are playing me this year in this league. But that's how good this league is. So make sure you give everyone a bit of a follow if you are in it.
Minimunk got a win by 4 points over Rory of the Traders. So one tackle, the difference there from tying it up. And I got our fellow compatriot of the coaches panel and pod member, Louis, somehow managed to get the win. But it's a great initiative. And it's not just because it's bringing the content creators together, but there's some great rewards that are coming for charities. Every single member of the Content Creators Cup, we've all nominated a charity. So whoever wins it, which won't be me, but it could be Minimunk, can give, I think it's like $5,000, something like that, to charity of choice. And speaking of that, it's all being put together with special thanks to Infinite Wealth. You can make smarter financial decisions. They're giving you a free gift valued at almost $3,000. When was the last time someone gave you nearly $3,000 worth of value? Okay, maybe Clayton Oliver is a selection this week. But before that, when was the last time? Well, Infinite Wealth are taking care of you. It's available for every AFL fantasy coach. All you need to do is head to infinitewealth.com.au/AFL fantasy to claim yours, or you can check out the description of this podcast. We've got the link for you there. That's 15 years of radio coming to help me in that live read. So thank you, Guesty. Thank you, the AFL Fantasy Fanatics. We love being part of the Content Creators Cup. But Rids and I would like
just before
reads.
I drop off, I just got to say, if you didn't listen to any of what MJ just said, just give them a call on Infinite Wealth and ask for Guesty, okay? And he'll be able to fill you in on all the details. Or
just
click
the link.
Tweet me and I'll give you MJ's direct mobile number and you can actually ask him about it.
You start. Rids, to say it's been a pleasure is probably a little bit too much of a stretch, mate. But as always, love having you, mate, talking fantasy footy with us yet again.
Easy, mate. And next week, mate, I'll bring a guest. I'll bring a friend with me next week, okay?
Okay. Ooh, nice little thing. All right, we'll find out. We'll tune in next week to find out. That is Mini Monk. As always, a pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Is $3,000 worth of value what you call your haircut?
Don't you start.
Hey, just a quick one on your hair. Did your ears, like, get bigger, or did you just have a bit of a trim around your ears there, mate? What's going on here? Is that fashion?
No, I just had a fade, mate. Just got to keep it all together, you know?
You're so, like a 40-year-old Hugh Hefner.
I am 40, but I'm definitely not here. Been married for 20 years, so I'm far from being him, that's for sure. We're ending this podcast before any more hair references makes its way into this. If you want to go and check out the audio podcast, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, wherever you get your podcast from. You can check us out while we are there. It's got all the details that you need to be able to go and check that out. Or you can go and check out the videos over at YouTube. That is where you can go and see these as well. Make sure you like and subscribe. There has been videos rolling all the way through the preseason and season proper. So if you haven't subscribed, go and do that. If you want to claim that infinite wealth gift that has been given to all AFL fantasy coaches, the details for that are in the description of this podcast. It's also where you can go and find us involved in a bunch of different areas. You can go and find that out as well, and check that out, as well as our Patreon. All the details are in the description, where they are getting a ton of additional reward, a total of 4 podcasts you can get from us every single week. Our top tier Patreons are getting that, as well as a bunch of other rewards. If you want to get involved, find all the details for our Patreon in the description of this episode. Oh, and by the way, if you are watching this on YouTube, not only can you check out the hair, but you can also comment below and let us know what trades you're going to make this week. So I'd love to know. Comment below. We'd love to see what that is. Hey, good luck this week. Footy starts Thursday night, as we've got very accustomed to now in 2024. We hope Rookie Roulette is kind to you. We hope the carnage lands everywhere else but to your team, and your captain goes full Caleb Sarong of last weekend. Until we chat to you next week, good luck. We'll chat to you soon.